Hello and welcome to the 22nd Manx Footy pod of the season. For today's very special episode, almost live from the Holiday Inn Express in Middlesbrough, I'm joined by Alaman FA manager Paul Jones and midfielder Mark Kelly. Right, lads, welcome to Room 8. I've tweeted a picture already, but it is a slightly odd sight, this, isn't it? I'm sat looking at you two on the sofa bed with a bin with a microphone perched on it.
Yeah, with your laptop on your knees and a phone in hand.
Yeah, I'm sure this is how the pros do it. But yeah, it's a very odd sight. But we're in live, almost live from Middlesbrough. Live,
And you've just broadcast where we are and your room number, so.
Well, you know. Yeah. Got nothing else on later, can't so you. Let's see what happens. I'm looking out the window. It's a nice view. If I can just have a little net curtains. Those bus stops are pretty swish, aren't they? Look at that blue lighting and everything.
Yeah, I've not been into Middlesbrough Centre, but I wasn't expecting I don't know, it's almost Mediterranean Plaza out there, isn't it?
Best it's got to offer, though, hasn't it?
You reckon?
That square there, I think.
That square, well, I think maybe a brisk walk around there tomorrow morning, maybe late, because it's getting dark now, and I wouldn't want to be fancying that later on.
No.
But yeah, so we're here. Thanks for letting me interrupt your pre-match preparations. I know you've got a sports pass there to look forward to at 7 o'clock.
Whatever that is.
I'm quite intrigued to see what's in it.
Yeah,
I presume pasta.
Pasta, I would imagine. But is it the sport element?
There was a rumor on the coach that it was its shapes.
It could be sport pasta shapes.
Alpha bites.
Keeps the lads' heads ticking over. I was going to offer you some biscuits.
I've got like a tennis player shape, pasta shape in my head now.
And you'll be disappointed.
Maybe it'd just be the racket rather than the whole player in the. Sorry.
But I was going to offer you some biscuits, but there aren't any in the room. So Agent Rashid, a good friend, he has said that I should be hammering the TripAdvisor later, and I think I will. There'll be a strongly worded comment later.
Although your room is a super deluxe compared to everyone else's, so I wouldn't
I
wouldn't complain too much.
Is it? Well, I obviously haven't seen any. The toilet. I mean, the bathroom's massive.
Sharing, so.
our
twin beds are quite close together in everyone else's room, so you're
it's good for team bonding, though.
Master suite, apparently so. We're not like the Norwegian ski team who sleep in each other's beds.
Do they?
Apparently so, yeah.
And does it work for them?
Well, they're one of the most successful ski teams in the world. So.
Well,
that is due to them sleeping in the same bed as each other or not, I don't know.
We digress about that, but it'd be interesting to get your as a sports professional, Paul. I was watching the Winter Olympics the other day, and there was lots of teams. I'm thinking, you don't have any snow. How are they? Like, Netherlands, right? They're second in the medal table at the moment, aren't they? Yeah. But notoriously flat. Yeah, but is there ice? Just go around the rinks.
Yeah. And it's cold enough as well for the old lakes to freeze over.
So do you reckon the Isle of Man should be? We have Zoe Gillings-Bryan, obviously, was finished 13th on Friday. Yeah. Should we try and get some speed skaters down? You could do it around St John's, around the Penguins, couldn't they? You know, when they do the.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, there Why we go.
Not? Just get some of those grass skis and throw people off Snaefell. You never know.
We've officially started the Isle of Man's Winter Olympic program.
We've got two. Zoe and Brandon Kane in the GB squads.
So we're batting above.
Exactly, we're doing quite well for winter sports from considering our climate, to be fair.
So, but I reckon we could get a couple of speed skaters in there.
4 years to
Mark, maybe if you want to bow out in the football, because they've all got massive thighs, haven't they?
Yeah.
They don't miss leg days then, lads, do they? Anyway, we digress, as always. Manx Footy Pod, it very rarely discusses Manx football. We're here to discuss, of course, tomorrow's big game. It's North Riding League away in the quarterfinals of the FA Interleague Cup. Nice high noon, midday kickoff tomorrow.
Yeah.
A bit unusual.
It is, I mean, we just needed to get the game on this weekend, really, and there's been a bit of give and take, really, on both parties' side. I think they were struggling to get a ground for the Saturday, so, you know, this worked out better, really. If we were playing Saturday and we had to get over Saturday morning and then play at 3 o'clock, I think that would have been a hell of a journey, and I don't think we'd have got the best out of ourselves. So I think it's worked out reasonably well. But you know, obviously, we'll wait and see what the result is before I say too much.
And while we travelled today, I've been luckily on the luxury Mercedes coach that we've been travelling up on.
No expense spent on that one.
The squad seem in good spirits. You know, I watched the training session today. That was pretty full on as well in the indoor facility at Huddersfield.
Yeah, I asked Bernsey and Dicko to do a nice, fun, low intensity session, and it turned into 5v5s. And the quality of football was fantastic, and the pace of the game was higher than I was imagining. And yeah, it turned into a really good session. Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't too bad considering you say rolling off that coach and then just going there. It turned out to be a decent session, actually. Yeah.
But everyone seems in good fettle, you know, good mood and confident.
To be honest, like this squad, the core of the squad, 8 to 10 players, has been here for, I'd say, 10 years nearly now.
Yeah.
So everyone, even though we're from different clubs, everyone's been away together so many times. It's just like, it is literally like going away with a club again.
Yeah.
So it's no different. You go away 3-4 times a season with them, so.
And I know we've played these guys before in their former guise as Teesside, which we'll talk a little bit about in a minute, but most of these games are a bit of an unknown quantity. Is that an advantage in a way? Because you don't have to, you haven't got to worry about what they've done in the past or anything like that. Or...
Well, we were speaking before. We've actually played these 2 years, didn't we? Yeah. Down at Peel, and obviously
a very muddy Peel.
Yeah, that was a year with the flood, wasn't it? So, yeah, I think if we played them on the ball, we would have comfortably beat them.
Well, I read a report in the Middlesbrough Gazette. And they awarded their man of the match to the goalkeeper, so I think that says it all about that last game. And they got a couple, I think even their manager admitted they got a couple of goals on the break, so
yeah, it was just a waterlogged pitch, and then obviously playing for Peel, we didn't play out for
about
3 months afterwards, so didn't knocked out of that and then didn't play for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's probably an unusual scenario really, I guess, in this fixture, because you're playing against the team that I was watching that day, so you know, you've got a bit of an idea about them, and you know, some of the players are still there, and some of the players that caught the eye that day are still playing for them, so we've got a little bit of an idea about them, but at the same time it's still a little bit of a toss of a coin as to, you know, what we're going to get. And I think that the nice bit from my perspective is that there is 7, 8, 9 maybe of the players who are in that squad, in this squad, who remember that day and remember how they felt at the end of that day not getting through. So I'm hoping that gives a little, if they need any extra motivation, it certainly gives them a little bit more. And I think in our team meeting tonight, we're going to be talking through that feeling with that group to try and get us all thinking about, you know, what we need to do tomorrow.
Now, we talk about, you obviously you've got the team meeting coming up, but you've shuffled your pack a little bit for this one. I think you've made, there's 3 or 4 changes to the squad that beat Liverpool in the last round, Liverpool County League. First of all, let's talk about the newcomers. So you brought Luke Doherty in from the Old Boys defender, who I have to say I've been impressed with when I've seen him this season. And obviously Dean Cairns, your goalkeeper at Rushen, is the other new cap, as it were, this game.
Yeah.
Have they just forced their way into the reckoning here? Or?
Luke is someone that I've been aware of since the start of the season. And actually we had some tentative inquiries as to whether we might come down to Rushen, but you know, with Josh Thomas and Murph coming down. And I was aware he was doing quite well, and I kind of wanted to see him against us, really, and they played against us a couple of times recently, and he was very, very good. And I watched him, a couple of times, and then played against us, and he did really, really well, and he has played at a half-decent level in the UK before coming to the Isle of Man. So it's kind of, as soon as I saw that, I knew Tom Wood was away. Alex Harrison's dropped out of the squad to concentrate on the St Mary stuff. So we were not short in that area, but you know, it was remiss not to have a look at him. And he's come into training, and he's not really missed a beat. He's you know, he's come in and looked really good. And you know, it's nice to have him along, and it's another player who maybe doesn't have experience of the Isle of Man, but has experience of playing at a better level than we're playing at in this competition. So hopefully push the other lads on a little bit more. And, you know, the goalkeeper's an interesting one. There's 3 or 4 of them that are a similar level, really. And with Dean, I said to Sam Halliday, who maybe can consider himself a little bit unfortunate about not being in this squad, it's literally down to who's played the most games recently. And Old Boys have barely played.
No.
Dean has played regularly. He played away with Mifa at a higher level competition and did well from the reports I've had back from that. So it's really the keeper that has played the most games and is game ready more than anything else. And I didn't want to throw people in who hadn't been playing a little bit over the last few weeks.
Well, I was going to touch on that, because you're lucky enough, you forwarded me the email you sent to the club secretaries, and that was one of the key line I felt. You said this selection is based on a lot of things, but mostly those that have played the most recently. So is this the spate of call-offs we've had in the last few weeks has obviously been problematic for you in a way, isn't it? Because you've had almost a reduced number to call up.
Yeah, yeah, to an extent. I mean, you've got your core group really, and but those players that are maybe newer to the squad that we don't get chance to see very often, and then they're not playing on a Saturday, and you know they're not playing consistently, then they're finding it hard, I guess, to demonstrate to me why I should be picking them ahead of some of the lads who've been around for 7, 8, 9 years, who maybe might not play in like week in and week out because of the fixture postponements, but they know what they're coming to, they know what's needed, they know what's required, and I'm hoping without jinxing myself that they can come away and get the job done. Whereas maybe the newer players to the squad, if they've not been playing and they've not got that rhythm and that confidence, it's a bigger ask for them, really. So yeah, that's you know, part of my thing. There's so much. I mean, the five Geordies players, or the five players from one club, seven in a squad. You know, Chris Pass Jr. started training again. I've left him out. Yeah. And, you know, arguably everyone would probably have him in the starting 11. So, you know, little Joe Quayle's doing fantastically well. Callum's starting to come back again. So, you know, then you've got maybe nine players from one team who, in most people's best squad of 18 players, wouldn't be far away from it. So, although it's a, you know, it's interesting. Then you've got to think about cover and, you know, bench and how many players can play in different positions. And then, you know, you've got everyone kind of looking from the outside going, why is he in or why is he not in? Well, you've got to have a balance of a squad. You've got to think about every scenario that might happen in the game and make sure you've got a solution.
Yeah.
And I think with this squad at this moment in time for this particular game, I think we've got a solution in every position, and it reflects, I guess, in some ways as well, how well those players have done in training.
Mark, this competition that almost that Paul's talking about, does that mean that you can't even switch off at training anymore? You have to be on your game all the time, otherwise there's going to be something that comes in and takes your place. Is that how it feels?
I think from a personal view, playing at Peel, you've got obviously me, Gayla, Bella, Woodsy and Tom Wood down at training. So there's five of us training on a Wednesday, and we train on a Tuesday and a Thursday. So there's three nights on the bounce every week we're training. And then when we do have postponements with Peel, Falky has us in for training on Saturday. Yeah. So then weeks when we're not playing, we're training four times.
Yeah.
So you're probably fitter in a way than maybe having a game on a Saturday against one of the lower teams in the league. You can get 13, 14 first team players that were going to be there and put in a really good training session.
Yeah.
So I think playing for Russian, Geordies, Corinthians and Peel, I think them four clubs train the hardest, and results are in the Ireland squad, isn't it?
Yeah. Paul, you know, this is our... I'll talk to you, Mark, first. So we'd mentioned it before, this, the 3-1 game at Peel, you know. Is it going to be a big motivation for the players tomorrow to put that right?
Yeah, I think so, because obviously we're looking to win it for the third time. So that was, I think it was like the quarter-final stage. And like I said before, I think on the day, if we had played that on a suitable pitch, we would have put them out of sight, I think. Yeah. So for them to beat us in the way they did, and that's 2 years ago now, to have another bite at beating them maybe on their home turf tomorrow, I think we'll get the job done.
Yeah. So just... fingers crossed, no rain overnight. Yeah. It doesn't descend into another mud bath.
I wonder whether they've had a game on this pitch today. to make
sure. Stokesley Reserves, who I was looking at social media before, they played today, but I didn't know it was a home or away.
Who was piped on it tonight.
Yeah. Paul, now, this game is different in a way. You know, obviously, it's our first away game in this competition. Have you had to prepare differently as a result? You know, is it good because you get the lads together, you get them to bond a bit and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think in the competitions where we do go away and play, I think quite often I'm going to jinx myself, we get a better performance than if we just rock up at the bowl an hour and a half before kickoff. You know, I think the lads being around each other all day and bouncing off each other a little bit and just having conversations that aren't necessarily football conversations really helps them to gel together a little bit more when they come to play. So, you know, on reflection, you know, some of our preparation before the other two games, I might do it a little bit differently if we have another home game in this competition. But today, as I said before, you having that day travelling and, you know, having the night together, having a chance to have a bit of a meeting, you know, getting up, having breakfast together, you know, it does bring you together for a weekend, a small period of time, and hopefully that helps us get a good performance out of them.
What about Mark, from a playing point of view, do you prefer an away game? Or it's sort of very split, the opinion. Some players like just to be in their own space in the day and then just turn up, as you say, an hour and a half before kick-off. But others like the fact that we've travelled over the day before and the stuff that goes with
it. But I think it's changed over time, really, because I'm a bit older now. I think when I was younger, and the way we used to do it, you go away on a Friday night, play the game on a Saturday, and then when you're younger, you get the night out on Saturday.
Yeah.
But over time, as you get older, I think playing at home, you've got your own things to do. And so I don't know. I think as I'm older now, I prefer a home game.
Right.
Because you're on the Isle of Man, you can just go get it done. Whereas when you're younger, it's more of a trip away, isn't
it? It's an adventure, isn't it?
What about the crowd point of view? Now, we've been getting 400, 500 people coming to watch you at home. You know, now tomorrow, potentially, there could be Ray, Hattie, me. Yeah. And then maybe half a dozen of their friends and family. You know, is it nicer to play in front of a home crowd? Or do you like maybe antagonising the home play?
Well, playing at Peel is another...
Yeah.
The year when I think we lost the finals of Jersey,
that
was the year when we were getting, we got about 3,500 down the final, and then about 1,500 down the semi-final. So that was a good year to play in it. But I think this year we've only had sort of like 300-400 down, haven't we, down the ball. Yeah. But like you say, tomorrow there's probably only be 40-50 people max, isn't there?
Yeah.
But obviously you prefer to play in front of bigger crowds, but I don't think it's a competition unless you're playing Jersey or Guernsey or something like that, you're going to get a big crowd, really, are you?
Both out, by my reckoning,
they
as well.
They are both out, yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's an pressure. Interesting...
No, I mean, we won't look too far ahead, but yeah, it certainly raised my eyebrows when I saw that both those clubs had gone out, both those teams had gone out earlier on in the competition. So.
Now, Mark, hopefully a special occasion for you tomorrow. If you get on or play any part, it'll be your 50th cap. Does that add any pressure to you, or have you just been looking forward to getting that milestone out of the way, or how are you feeling about it?
I've had it in my sights for a while, and went to Scotland for the Umbro Cup. So I got to 49 after the Northern Ireland game, but got injured in that game. So we were down to the bare bones for the Scotland game, so I would have got in that game, but I was injured, didn't play. And then, so I got to 48, and then we played Liverpool in the last round. So yeah, it's just... I think when you start playing football for Peel, you just want to get in there, the first team play, and then you work your way into the Ireland squad. You just want to get a game, don't you? And then over the years, you start, you play more games. Then it's a good landmark to get 50. I think it's only 10, 15 players.
Not many.
It's just a good thing to get, I think.
Any sort of games or that stand out for you over that time? You know, can you remember your debut? Can you remember you played in your first game?
I think it was up at Ramsey. Just come off the bench against Carlisle in the steam packet.
Right, okay.
Since they got like about a minute.
Yeah.
Just chucked me on because we were like 3 or 4-0 down. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Ramsey, But standout-wise, I'd probably have to say at the Island Games in Jersey, when we beat Jersey, it was like a red-hot night. It was the last group game. They were obviously the home team. I think they were expected to beat us, to be honest. And we only needed a draw to go through. And we beat them 2-1. Just atmosphere-wise and the occasion, I think that was the one that stands out, really.
And any the bowl that stood out? Were you part of the unbelievable game? You know, the 5-3 against...
I wasn't. I was away travelling then. I came back in the semi-final, and then we beat the Southern Amateur League, and then I played in the final where there was 3 against Jersey, where there was 3.5. So, yeah, the two games against Jersey for atmosphere, crowds and things like that. But then you go to like Umbro Cups and play against a lot better opposition. But yeah, the Jersey games, I would say, stand out more than anything.
Right. Paul, now, I know you've just alluded to it, but we're in the unusual position of we do know if we win who's, what's lying in wait, as it were, in the semi-final because of the way that the fixtures have fallen. Now, can you remotely look ahead to that, or is it just, at the moment, just all eyes on this game?
You do, but then the closer this game gets, the more you're focused on this, and the more you're trying to keep the lads focused on this, and I think it's dangerous, isn't it? Because they've beaten us in the past, and I know there's a couple of players in their side that are decent, that they probably wouldn't be playing at this level unless they were knocking about with their mates, they're probably better than the level, like all our lads are, so... They could cause us some problems if we're not careful. So I'm a little bit nervous, if I'm honest. I know that we're more than good enough. I know that we can whether we will or not is getting me on edge a little bit, if I'm honest, tonight. But that's only because I know that they've got a couple of half-decent players. So I'm just really focused on trying to find a way to get a performance from the 16 that makes it look like we played together regularly. It's quite a coherent performance that everyone's kind of knows what everyone's doing, and we're working and playing as a team. You know, if that happens, I'm all right, and I'll know within 20 minutes of the game starting. If that isn't happening, then I'm biting my fingernails for the game, because it'll turn into an end-to-end game, and we don't tend to not concede goals when it's like that.
Well, just touch on that, you know, the rule that you can have 7 from one club in a squad and 5 on the pitch at one time. Now, I know you've said, oh, you possibly could have had 9 or whatever for St. George's, but do you think that in a way maybe hinder other teams? Because I think many leagues used to just put their previous champions in, didn't they? So you'd be a lock stock, and it would be a side that plays week in, week out, and it would be tougher. Now they are actually having to be more of a representative side. You know, maybe does that play back into our hands?
When they first told us the rule, I was quite happy with it. I thought, great, because for that exact reason, that a lot of teams would put their either cup winners or their league winners in and just put the whole lot in as a club side. And I thought, great. And then I looked around our squad and I thought, you know what, it'll be a great opportunity for some of the younger players. It'll be a great opportunity for players who maybe are at other clubs to experience this sort of level. And it's kind of turned out that way to an extent with some of the players that have come into the squad. I think it's really over the last few weeks when Bassey started coming back. You know, I've been talking to Callum. Joe Quayle's been playing exceptionally well for St. George's, and in training he's been very, very good. And then you start looking at it like that, then it causes a bit of a problem, because we're, you know, if you're looking at form players, we're probably, without being disrespectful, we've probably not got the strongest squad if everybody in the Isle of Man, you could pick from everybody. But we've got the strongest squad we can within the rules that we have. Or the best squad in order to meet the challenges of tomorrow. So it's an interesting one. It's caused me a lot of headaches, if I'm honest. You know, you've either got to drop some experienced players to give younger players a chance, or they've got to be playing out of their skin in order to make me drop them. The prize at the end of this is so big, not just to enable the lads to get a better standard of football, but also maybe for the opportunities it might present later on down the line, that I don't know, it's a tricky one to throw people into without knowing what they're going into.
And in the UEFA Regions Cup, I don't know, are the rules similar for that? Would you be, or is it?
No, it's open season then, I think, from what I gather. They don't have, it's not a UEFA stipulation, it's an FA stipulation in order to make the competition fairer. I don't know whether it was something to do to stop your Jerseys, your Guernseys and your Isle of Mans, or whether it was something to actually help the Jersey, Guernsey and the Isle of Mans. I don't know. But
Well, from a relatively sensible question, I should say. We have had a few Twitter questions in.
Would you like an exclusive before you ask the question?
Go on.
Because this is going out after our team meeting.
Yeah, I'm putting it on at 8:30.
Yeah, Mark is starting tomorrow to get his 50th.
There you go, Mark. I thought you were smiling rather than we're coming into it's probably an express room in Middlesbrough. You do a smiling a lot when you walk in.
Just a smart room. How good the room
is. I'm telling the lads, they'll be trying to keg in later. Congratulations.
Cheers.
I'm sure you will do us proud tomorrow. That's great news. And as I say, you know, he is a Mr. Reliable as well. You know, we talk about, my favourite player in the world, Julian Ringham, but he's a solid 7. But Mark's not, you know, 6.5 most weeks, isn't he? Sometimes 7.5. So well, he is a consistent performer at this level, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
without him wanting to embarrass him.
Not at all. He's you know what you're going to get with Mark, to be honest. And maybe sometimes, both at club and at this sort of level, he suffers from being too good in too many positions. So he gets moved around a little bit, or he can be seen as cover on occasion, and you know, to plug gaps depending upon how the game's going. So sometimes it doesn't pay to be too versatile, but at other times it means you're always in a squad and you're always around and you've always got a good chance. So he's in the team for a specific reason tomorrow, really, and hopefully he can do that based around the game plan that we have. So
no pressure, Mark. I was lucky enough to be privy to your training session today, And now one of the you brought, only brought Dean as a recognised goalkeeper today, yep. And there was a five-a-side drill where two goalkeepers were required. And
yes.
Manfully, I think this has been exclusive. You put yourself in goal, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Jack McVay was doing too well, so I didn't want Dean to be too worried about his place. So I took up the challenge and put in a fairly average performance, to be honest.
Although
probably better than you would have done.
Yeah, I did. The one where you palmed it into your own net was reminiscent of what I do quite a lot on a Wednesday at St John's AstroTurf. So I could see myself in you at that point, but there you go, which is probably the only...
Don't say that in your bedroom.
So to speak.
That's how people will talk.
Yeah. But that has prompted a Twitter question. Not the latter half of that. But
good.
Gary, who was obviously Gary Waitman, who's here taking the official photographer of the trip.
Yeah.
He says, has the kicking you've received in training from Julian Ringham affected his chances of playing tomorrow? Because he did go in late for you on a challenge.
Yeah, has Gary shared that photo
yet?
I
think he's going to share it a bit later, but it was tasty.
Yeah, I didn't think it was too bad in the moment, but since seeing that photo...
Everyone went...
Yeah, there's a few gritted teeth there from Jules, isn't there? So I don't know quite what was going on, but he said afterwards that he doesn't often get an opportunity to score. So even in training, he's going to make sure he makes the most of it, I think. So.
Well, talking of someone that sort of has been hiding their light under a bushel, as it were, Sean Quaid showed his goal-scoring prowess today with a couple of absolute screamers, didn't he?
There's that one on the top.
Yeah, top bins, as the kids say.
Side foot, right foot.
Yeah.
There was a couple striving out from the back and then popping
in. To be honest, there was a lot of bad finishing as well. Yeah, the roof and that wooden board on wasn't the best.
No.
Agent Rashid has been on. He's obviously good. Devastated. They didn't pack the mugs today. They didn't have room. So he is a bit upset by that. But he said, just wants to wish all the squad the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
From Ramsey. And he says, any scope for him to go on the next trip?
Pass.
pass that on to Frank Stennett.
Yeah, he can go into negotiations with the FA or pay for himself.
He also asks. He also, he's a big fan of Frank Jones, super Frank Jones. As he knows. He says, has either of you ever attempted the famous Super Frank Super Leap? So this is, of course, when we're talking about when Frank enters the pitch, he tends to jump up out of superstition or just warming his legs up. I don't know.
Pass.
But have you ever?
I don't think I've been captain.
Yeah.
At the start, and then I've definitely never attempted that.
No. I struggle to put one foot in front of the other these days. Let alone, he gets quite high. To be fair,
he
doesn't
does.
He?
Yeah. But I think he does it because he knows Gary's taking pictures.
Maybe, but no, it's very impressive, but no, beyond my capabilities.
Either of you listened to the podcast we had with Gary Hedden a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that if Sam Kane is one of the most unusual players to take pictures of, because he's always up in the air, he always leaps as well during the match. That's not just to get onto the pitch; it's just very bouncy,
leaping.
Yeah.
Or when the ball's near him, or any
time tomorrow. Watch, you'll see he's very leapy.
Okay, leaping.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'll make note of that. Maybe we can add that to us.
Scouting.
Put it a tick box. Is he leapy?
Yeah.
Right. He's in the squad.
Final question is from someone who's now back in the Russian fold, isn't it? Grant Dawson.
Yes, Mr. Dawson. Yeah.
He asks now. This involves. Have you heard of this, Mark? A parmo.
A parmo.
Apparently, this is the local dish up here. So you know we have chips, cheese, and gravy.
Yeah.
A parmo is something you could go into a chippy,
right?
Like, and ask for. And I think I did. You know, in my rush, I haven't Googled what it is, but I believe it's cheese and something and chips and something else.
Okay.
So he said, "Paul, would me taking you out for a parmo get me back in the squad?"
It would take a lot more than that. Like a good performance, probably. but I believe he's kept a clean sheet today
was
for Russian combi.
In the combo,
Tom Strivens was away, so Dorsey's Russian re-debut. So yeah, he starred in the 5-0 win.
Where were they playing today?
Laxey.
At Laxey.
Yeah.
Back at Glen Road.
Yeah. I also heard that while this is going out, that Steve Harris. Had a bit of a turn, so I hope he's okay.
Right.
I just wanted to say that. And my thoughts are kind of with him and the rest of the players, because I don't think there was something happened after the game. So,
oh dear. Right.
I hope he's all right.
Speedy recovery, Steve.
Definitely.
Yeah, if he's listening to this. Well, that's it. It was a bit of an abridged version. Thanks for coming in to Room 8. Actually, 101 maybe been a bit more apt. I'm going to be there tomorrow. you know, delighted. I think
you're actually going to come. I'm coming. You've not come to Middlesbrough to stay in your room.
Oh, you know, there is so much. It depends how, you know, that square Mark keeps alluding to is, you know, let's see how much is going on there. You know,
sure, anywhere.
But yeah, I'll be tweeting away at Manx Footy Blog for those of you who can't be there. And I reckon I was trying to work out my last game. I think I covered for the senior side. And a couple of the 18s, we went to Doncaster, got beaten. That was quite a misleading trip. We said we were going to the Keepmoat Stadium, which was Doncaster. I got quite excited.
Yeah.
Found out that the Rugby League Six Nations, or Three Nations, whatever, was on at the same time. So yeah, we were in the car park, basically. You know, in a cage pitch that was reminiscent of Nobles Park tennis courts.
Oh, right, very
yeah,
nice.
So, but then, so that was one of them. And then the last one before that I went to was when the Isle of Man FA beat Durham. And Martin Tor and Niall Cumming scored.
Yes, who, I was playing
in that game. Yeah, I think it was extra time when was it, Mark?
Yeah, I know. I think Callum Marsh scored the first one from a short corner, and then Niall Cumming scored the winner, didn't he?
In that lovely blue kit.
Yeah
blue, and red. Bit of a clash. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but yes, that was the last time they let me come on one of these. So,
really? So that long ago?
That was 2007. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Been banned since.
What did you do?
I don't know. I remember having a drink with Lacey. That's the last thing I remember. Oh, yeah. Right, on that bombshell, you can catch up with all the podcasts galore at audioboom.com/channel/maxfootball. I saw you on the coach day with your iTunes subscription. Is it on there? Have you subscribed to it?
No.
You're looking very blankly at me. Have I rumbled you?
No, not at all. No. I was listening to some music.
No, but you do have you can get it on.
I can.
Yeah,
I haven't. I just follow your Twitter link, and that's how I listen to it every week. I don't have it subscribed.
Nice save. That ringing endorsement. Until next week.